A group of my friends are in Mumbai, India right now. We've been working to rescue young girls from forced prostitution and move them into aftercare homes where they're protected and loved into a new way of life. The brothel and pimp situation, especially for these young girls, is as horrific as you could imagine. I could write at length about it, and also about the astonishing hope coming out of many situations. But here's the fascinating part about how these girls respond to their freedom. They resist it. When the brothel doors are broken through and security arrives, the girls fight against their liberators and cry fearful tears as they're being ushered to freedom. They don't understand what is being offered. They become so accustomed to their slavery and abuse, often mistaking it for love and security, that they can't imagine an alternative. Sometimes, even when they're rescued and given safe beds, food, guidance, and protection, they run away. They would rather have the known, a horrible and dehumanizing situation, than the unknown of freedom. Freedom isn't always obvious. It might be entirely different from what you're accustomed to. It can be unexpected and countercultural, a far cry from the world systems. Sometimes we think we have a pretty good idea of what freedom is like. Maybe we lie our way through business deals because they're lucrative and we want the freedom to buy second homes. We cheat on husbands because other men seem more interested in our attention. We overstock the refrigerator because someone used to control our eating, and now we want to eat anything we feel like it whenever we want it. We dwell in the unfairness of our past and can't resist the self-pitying security of reliving it. We don't make bold decisions because we're too nervous about a misstep in our purpose-driven lives. We avoid close relationships as a protection device. On the surface, a lot of these things can seem like freedom. Maybe we get an adrenaline rush or a huge check or a year of life that feels totally self-gratifying. Later, though, we realize we brought confusion upon ourselves. We dug back into pain or we sought a shallow, destructive form of freedom. The kind of freedom we were seeking had to do merely with the moment and ourselves. No authority, no boundary lines, and no one to lean on who could continually hold us up, build into us, and protect us. If you liked the earlier part about no helmets, you're probably not going to like this. True freedom starts with God and His ways. Generally, when we hear the word freedom, we imagine a life with no boundaries in which only yours truly calls the shots. In America, it seems we're all about getting out from under authority, not caving into it, because any sort of authority seems to be what stands in the way of our freedom. But living without any boundaries is like trying to play tennis without the lines. The game would be a mess and it would be no fun. It's not popular to talk about submission to anything or anyone because we imagine we want complete independence as soon as we hit junior high. Submission sounds like weakness. It conjures up images of clueless, glazed-eye followers or the yes-man coworker. Of course, sometimes submission is weakness and a poor choice. Sometimes we follow the wrong leader or the wrong manifestos and get screwed up in the process. But sometimes we are merely refusing to submit and follow someone or something because we don't want to get burned again, look weak, or put aside our deeply rooted pride. So we go back to hobbling along on our crutches of fear while distrust and independence completely cage us in. And if you're rolling your eyes right now and thinking,